You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Richard Boxall.
Welcome to the Race to Dubai show as the European Tour heads to Austin, Texas for the WGC Dell Technologies World Match Play. Rory McIlroy's in great form and back in the winner's circle.
Yeah, it's been a while. You know, all that hard work has finally paid off. I kept telling everyone, even when I was missing cuts and finishing 60th, it wasn't that far away. Just a couple little tweaks here and there, and you know, it's nice to be in this position again.
Rory will have to overcome a strong field that includes the likes of Spieth, Thomas and Day, plus the world number one and defending champion, Dustin Johnson. A full preview of events in Austin to come, and we might even mention the small matter of the Masters. Hello, I'm Robert Lee, and I'm joined by former European Tour champion, Richard Boxall. Buongiorno, Riccardo.
Grazie.
I gave you the Italian big intro there. You know that. You know why.
Well, of course I know why. But I wasn't quite sure what sort of accent you were going to go. What sort of language you were going to go into there? But anyway, listen, Rob.
That was Italian.
Italian. Yeah. I haven't worked with you for a long time. You're probably better telling this show. But
you look nervous.
Little edgy, I have to confess. But it's nice to be back. Getting back into golf again. I've had a bit of time off actually. I've had about four. I suppose I'm easing into sort of 4.5 weeks off now. So it's, you know, I like getting back and having a little chat about the golf, see what's going on.
Well, normally when you're in the saddle, working, you think, phew, I've got a week off next week. And then after half an hour of your first day of your week off, you think,
ready to go.
I could get back to work
again now. Well, I was chatting earlier on today, Rob, you know, with a few of the younger people up here. I said, you don't go out onto the tour anymore. And he went, no. He said, I think 8 years. I think that's long enough. And I thought, 8 years. I mean, we've been doing it nearly 40, haven't we?
That's true.
But it sort of gets in your blood, doesn't it?
Well, you can't. It doesn't leave you, Richard. It doesn't leave you. And I mean, you were just saying
a bit
before.
Like your golf game.
Well, that, funny enough, left me some time ago. But I'm used to the new me, which I'm comfortable in my skin, Richard, when I go on the golf course now.
Yeah, I haven't played that much. I'm going to.
You know the secret as you start your way back? Now, the secret is low expectations.
Low expectations. Yes. In the breezy, swing it easy.
In the breezy, swing it easy. Big
Excellent.
Event coming up this week.
Yes, there is quite a large big event with this Dell Technologies match play coming up. I think, though, Robert, you know, it's safe to say that of all the tournaments during a year, we don't have many match plays, but I think, in my personal view, that match play ones for any individual would be easier to win than a stroke play event.
Because?
Because you're playing one at a time. To start with, you've got three round-robin games to start with.
I think you've still got the amateur thought that I can shoot 75 and go through.
No, it's not an amateur thought at all. I had that thought as a pro. But, I mean, it's the thought of you don't have to be, you know, on a given day, you don't have to be spot on your game. You could shoot level par.
You could have a bad day and go through, couldn't you?
Yeah, you could. We all have.
So, just tell us how it works, roughly.
Okay, Robert, this is how it works. There's going to be 16 groups of four players, and they'll all play like a, you know, a round robin. They'll play each other once, and that's on from Wednesday through to Friday. In each of the 16 groups, there will be one of the top 16 seeds in each group. All group matches are limited to 18 holes, with 1 point awarded for a win and a half point for a halved match. Ties for first place in the group are broken by a sudden death stroke play playoff beginning on the first hole of the course, and the winners of each group advance to a knockout format across the weekend.
So eventually you end up, after the round-robin stages, into the weekend, you're down to the last 16.
You're down to the last 16, and then you go quarterfinals, semis, final, and obviously there'll be a third and fourth playoff.
But how exciting in the Dell match play is the Wednesday, the very first day? Because so much is going on.
Well, from a commentator's point of view, as you well know...
When you're watching each, it's fantastic.
Well, you've got Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It'll be like lightning. The pictures will come in really quickly. You'll see what's going on. All of a sudden, he's out. He's going down sudden death. He's doing this. He's doing that. So it's... this is purely selfish from a commentator's point of view. It will be very exciting. And then the Saturday, Sunday... That certainly gets a lot harder. Great for the viewer to watch, but it gets harder work, for
you
sure.
You often hear players saying, I wish we had more match play.
Yeah.
Would you like to see more match play?
Yes, I would like to see more match
you
play.
You would? Even after your sort of...
Rant,
you know,
on that. No. What we have to do, it's by the by, it's tough. Whether, you know, you've got to do it. It's not a question of that. I'm just saying, as you well know, as the field dwindles, it does get harder work. But for the viewer... I would certainly like to see more match play.
Let's have a look at some of the leading contenders for the WGC Dell Technologies. It is a long title, match play. We've got to start with Rory McIlroy after his win, his brilliant win, in some style, by the way. 67-64 at the weekend to win the Arnold Palmer.
That was brilliant stuff. And what he did do, Robert, was he got he started holding a bit of yardage. You know, he's 5-under for the last seven holes. Under pressure, holds some great putts. Here's another thing, Robert, that's been going through my head. Abu Dhabi and Dubai finishes third and second. Okay. And admittedly, in Dubai, he hit a very poor tee shot in the last round on the 11th of the 9-iron, and he three-putted the 13th par 5 when he knocked it on 2. Other than that, he shot 22-under and 18-under.
Right.
Okay, he's 40-under par for 8 rounds.
Right.
He is level 67s, right? Now, if you go out, and everyone's going, oh, he's blowing it, he's useless, he's this and he's that, and it's not there. If you shoot, I turn it the other way around. I think he's unlucky. I think if you shoot level 67s and don't win both of them, somebody's done something extraordinary.
But what's the point you're making, though?
My point is, he's getting stick. Oh, he's blown it. He had two bad holes.
He didn't get any stick for finishing after a rusty period of doing not very much over
I
the winter.
I thought he got stick
to
for finishing
third.
Second and
no,
third.
No way. He finished third and second.
Well, I think he did.
And everyone's saying, you know, out of nowhere, with all the changes in his life and everything else, he is back. The word was that Rory was back after finishing third and second.
I'm not disagreeing with that. I think he did. I think they said, oh, he blew it down the last few holes. I thought he was unlucky not to win both of them.
Well, we disagree on that then. I don't think he got. I think everyone was saying, wow, Rory is back. It was a big wow factor.
I'm not saying everybody. I said he got a bit.
Let's hear from Rory. I suspect he's slightly more upbeat than you are. Let's hear.
Yeah, it's been a while. Oh, what a day. You know, it looked like it was going to be a bit of a shootout out there. I mean, it was a stacked leaderboard going into today. You know, I just went out with the mindset today of being patient. You know, I was even par through 5 holes and 4 behind Henrik at that point. You know, I hit it into the bunker off the tee on 6. So, I just really tried to stay patient out there. And after that, I played a perfect round of golf. I gave myself birdie chances on basically every hole. You know, just executed shots the way I wanted to when I needed to. You know, 64 in those conditions out there, with it being firm and fast, you know, to get into the winner's circle again, it feels really good. Yeah, really proud of myself, how I've hung in there over the past sort of year with injuries and, you know, taking a little bit of time off at the end of last year to sort of get myself right coming into this year. And, you know, all that hard work has finally paid off. I kept telling everyone, even when I was missing cuts and finishing 60th, it wasn't that far away. So just a couple little tweaks here and there. And, you know, it's nice to be in this position again.
A brilliant performance from Rory McIlroy. And for Rory to win almost in the style of Arnold Palmer, it was very fitting. And, by the way, topped off by that putt that he held on the last green. Tiger's held that. He's nailed that half a dozen times to win in his 8 wins. He has held a putt like that for a birdie on the last green. Exactly the same putt. And Rory,
downhill left and right.
And Rory stepped up and made the putt. I mean, it was so impressive.
It was very impressive. Well, his last third of his last round was fairly impressive, wasn't it? You know, 5-under for the last 7. Very nearly birded all of those holes coming in.
Yeah, 17 he hit a great shot and just missed, yeah.
But he had a lesson, what was it, of Brad Faxon at the start of the week, or it was more of a sort of a psychological
They were chatting about
lesson,
it more, more,
it?
More yeah. chatting about putting, more than the mechanics of it.
Yeah.
But he has, I mean, I can definitely see in his stroke, I saw him on the practice putting green before going out, watching his stroke,
right,
and it's changed. He used to have a almost like he used to go through the stroke and then bow the left wrist.
Right.
Pronate the wrist.
Yeah.
The bone would point forward.
Yeah.
And that
has gone.
That for me is gone. Once there's
once
no
you
doubt
do that,
about,
you're gonna decelerate on it.
Or you're gonna change something. You don't want to, once you set your before you pull that putter back, that's how you want to return the putter.
I think
exactly
putting,
like that.
Yeah, but he was virtually all the putts he were hitting had a pace on them that were going sort of a foot to 18 inches past.
He just said he tried to declutter his putting thoughts and I think sometimes a conversation, particularly for him with somebody like Brad Faxon, who was a very natural, fantastic putter.
Right.
That in itself is a great thing to do.
It is.
For Rory, I don't know if Brad came up to him or Rory sought Brad's advice, but whichever way round it was, very clever thing to do.
Now, listen, here's a point for you. You know, we chat about sports psychology and all that. Would you class yourself as a good putter?
Very good.
Yeah, I would class myself as a good putter. So I got a great tip off somebody once. Right, you know when you're struggling and you can't seem to hold it. You hold the 10 or the 12 footer for the par, but you just can't hold the 8, 9, 10 footers for birdies. You know that feeling?
No, but carry on. Because I was
sure
a very good
have.
Putter, but carry on.
Somebody said to me, you know, how do you think you got to where you got in golf with your putting? He said it was just natural, wasn't it? I said, yes. Yeah. So here's a tip for anybody listening. Next time you're having a bit of problem with your putting, listen to yourself breathe. Pick out the shot, left lip, right lip, whatever it is, and then don't think about anything else. Just try and listen. I don't mean like this, Rob. Not like that. I mean, just in your mind, listen to yourself breathe. Takes everything else away. You'd be surprised how well you putt.
That
is for free.
But that, Richard, of course, is speaking from the point of view where you were a good putter and just lost your form a little bit. For the person at home that is a useless putter, that's not going to help them very much.
I genuinely think it might do.
Okay. Well, listen.
It's for free, Rob. What more could you want?
A, it's the right price.
Correct.
And B, on the back of that, it's priceless.
There you go.
So you put those two things together, Richard. It's a marvellous, marvellous asset for the people that listen religiously to this show every single week. Rory then delighted with his performance. And now all the naysayers, if there were any, they'll have to go quiet.
They will. What's that phrase they're saying? Class is...
Form is temporary.
Class is permanent. There you go. Right. Well, that just sort of sums that up in one go, doesn't it?
And the thing is, we're going to get to Augusta in a minute, but
yeah.
There are so many players hitting top form, more than any other time I can ever remember before getting to Augusta. It's quite sensational. And another one of those is Tiger Woods. He's not going to be playing this week in Austin. He's still well outside the world's top 50. That's why he can't play. But he made an impact once more last week towards the top of a leaderboard. He finished tied fifth in the end. And Rory knew he was on a charge.
So I headed to the back of the green on 11. Tiger just made birdie on 13. And on his way from 13 green to 14 tee, a Tiger chant started. And then people around the green on 11 retaliated with a Rory chant. Wasn't quite as loud. But I had to back off my putt on 11. So I knew at that point he was making a bit of a run. I guess he got to 5 under for the day at that point, maybe. Was he 12 under? So I knew what was going on. But then, yeah, I mean, not birdie in the par 5 12th, but then coming back with the birdie on 13 was huge. So, you know, at that point, it still looked as if I was, you know, in a tussle with Bryson and Henrik and Justin. And then I just, I sort of caught fire those next few holes.
You know, any young professional who manages to win without knowing where he was until he signed his card and doesn't look at a leaderboard and doesn't know where he is. Just listen to that from Rory McIlroy. He knew exactly where Tiger, what he was doing. He knew what Stenson was doing. He knew what Rose was doing. He knew everything and produced the goods.
Yeah.
So if you want to be a top, top player, there's no point hiding in your little shell afraid of the news that you might get. You need to be in it and amongst it, and you need to thrive on it. And that's what Rory does. Happy with that or not?
I'm quite happy with that. There's the answer to that is I agree.
Good man. What about Tiger then, Richard? Are you amazed? And I am amazed. Now, I honestly thought, and I haven't spoken to you since about this, at the President's Cup, he was part of Jim Furyk's backroom staff.
Yes.
Steve Stricker, sorry, backroom staff. Jim Furyk, now the Ryder Cup captain.
Yes.
And he was very much amongst the guys, making it all happen, doing what he should do as part of the backroom staff. But he couldn't play, you know, because he wasn't fit. All he could do then, Rich, was hit a 50-yard pitch shot. I said this to Dan Roebuck last week, but I want your opinion. And I thought, you know, after the back operations, the knee operations, he can only hit it 50 yards. It's all over for Tiger. And now here we are talking about him as second favourite for the Masters.
That is
now,
quite
can
remarkable.
You believe that?
No, I can't believe that. No, I didn't think he... I thought he might come back if he was fit. I thought he might come back and win a few more tournaments. But I have to say I've changed my mind now, and I think...
It's real, isn't it?
It's real, yeah, which is amazing. Right? He might actually get past Jack Nicklaus's record now if he stays fit.
The majors. That's a big call.
But he might well do, Rob. He's only 42 years of age.
I understand, yeah.
And, you know, where he's finished, he's not finished in the tournaments he's made the cut in. He's not finished outside the top 15.
And, you know, he's gone to the Masters before with absolutely no run-up and finished fourth. No run-up. Completely rusty. Now he goes in with form.
Plus, it also goes to show what an absolute exception to the rule he is, talent-wise, because nobody in the world honestly could take as much time off as he has without being and not being competitive and come back. I am absolutely... Can I use the word gobsmacked?
Yes, you can.
Thanks. Gobsmacked,
show,
that's what I am.
It's arguably the greatest... If he wins at Augusta, I'm saying it's arguably the greatest comeback story in sport ever.
Yeah, I can't think of anything any other ones that would.
You know,
be
no one with any knowledge of the game or observers of the game or pros in the game gave him a prayer of getting back to this point. Now,
I didn't. I thought he'd come
for
back
for two reasons. He had no game, and his body was broken.
Plus, the other thing, Robert, when I watched him at the Masters when he was coming towards the sort of the end of his first session of playing, as I call it, and his short game was horrific. I mean, you know, like thinning them and fatting them.
Yeah, he had...
Now that's all gone. Now, I think you've got to be so mentally strong. The only person that I know that is...
Langer.
Yeah, it's Langer. Yeah. He's the only one I could put in the same bracket.
Tiger, just fantastic to have him back. It really is. And he's changed as a person. You can see
so
how...
So the media say.
You just look at his engagement with people when he's getting interviewed. The barrier's down now. He used to have a barrier. He was in a cocoon. He never strayed. You know, I got it, buddy. Yes, whatever. It was very short, sharp. Now he's just...
Maybe, Robert, in the time that he's had off, you know, he's not been in the limelight by any stretch of the imagination. And maybe he sat down on his backside at home and thought, do you know what? What I had was absolutely fantastic. And I didn't really enjoy it like I should have enjoyed it. I'm a great player. I'm going to come back and I'm going to totally change this time.
You know, life's an evolution, isn't it? There is people change. And he's. I think he's been fantastic anyway. That's all I'm saying. He's gone to 105th in the world rankings from 656 at the start of the year. And a few weeks before that, he was outside the top 1,000.
I think he got to about 1,086, I think. Something like that. I can't be absolutely spot on with that. And you're not going to brutally criticise him for that, but he wasn't inside the top 1,000.
He was not inside the top 1,000. So in virtually very few weeks, he's now just outside the top 100. And now everybody, it's a given. The top 50 in the world's a given, the way he's going.
You're saying, what, 50th by the end of the year for sure? Before then, probably.
He might be inside the world's top 50 after the Masters.
Yeah. Could well. Well, he will if he wins it.
Absolutely, for sure. And good news for the Europeans, because Justin Rose, week in, week out, he is Mr. Consistency itself. He finished third and Henrik Stenson finished fourth. So, please, Richard, the world's top 10 rankings, please.
The world top 10 rankings, if I can just find it here very swiftly, Robert. Hang on, a shuffle of paper. Here we go. Okay, 10th is Sergio Garcia. Brooks Koepka is 9th. Ricky Fowler, 8th. Rory McIlroy is now 7th, moving in the right direction. 6th is Matsuyama. Justin Rose is 5th. Jordan Spieth, 4th. John Rahm, 3rd. Justin Thomas is 2nd. And Dustin Johnson is still number 1.
Justin Rose is not going to play in the Dell Technologies. Neither is Ricky Fowler. Neither is Adam Scott. Neither is Henrik Stenson. So
Brooks Koepka's not playing.
He's kind of injured, I think. Yeah. But the others are not injured. They're playing, not playing, because their schedule, they've looked at it and they think, how can I peak for Augusta? And they figure that not playing in Austin this week is the way they want to do it.
You can't.
But most are not thinking that.
What you'd love to be able to do, Robert, is play in every event. But you can't do that because
you... No, sure.
Well, you could be, but you'd be a little bit...
You'd be frazzled, wouldn't you?
Cream crackered, I think, is the word we're looking for.
Well, the top 64 are automatically in because it's 64 breakdown when you get for the match play. But every year, not everybody plays. However, most... It's about 60 of the top 64 are taking part.
Yeah,
so it's an incredibly strong field. We'll talk a bit more about that in a minute, but we should really mention an amazing thing with the victory from Rory McIlroy concerning Arnold Palmer. Here's Rory, his thoughts on it.
25th of September 2016, the last time I won a PGA Tour event, and obviously it was bittersweet because we lost an absolute legend and icon of the game. So, and for me to get my next win here is, it means a lot. You know, I've had quite a connection with Arnold Palmer over the past few years, and you know, I've been very fortunate to spend some time with him here. And he was always so nice to me. I've got so many letters from him, from wins and all sorts of stuff. And I wish he would have been at the top of the hill to shake my hand when I came off the 18th green there. But, you know, hopefully he's proud of me with the way I played that back nine and, you know, tried to be as aggressive as I could and try to take on shots when I needed to, just like he would have. So, yeah, it's sort of come full circle since that day in September in 2016. And just proud to be sitting up here and, you know, have my name on that trophy.
A lot of the players, if you noticed, were wearing Arnold's umbrella emblem on their clothing. It's not as if you just get a sticker and stick it on. It was properly embroidered on. So it had, you know, there had been a lot of work gone into it. With their regular golf shirts, just for that week, they had Arnold Palmer's umbrella motif on there as well.
Nice little touch.
Very nice little touch. So let's concentrate again on the Dell Technologies match play, the WGC event that we know it is. All the world's tours come together. And let's start with Rory, who must be bang on form, a former winner of the tournament, Richard.
Yes.
Going to a great golf course, went there last year, Austin Country Club, fantastic place, full of confidence.
How do you think he'd be feeling now, Robert? Do you think he wants to think, well, I'd like to keep winning, you know, I'd like to win this one, and then I've got the Masters coming up. Do you think he just wants to sort of quietly ease his way through now?
No.
Do you think win?
There's no quiet. Rory gets on streaks. He's quiet for a while, and then when he gets on top of that wave on his surfboard, he can stay on it. And he just wants to go win, 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 win. That's it. That's it for him. You could see last night, if he finished second last night, he finished third and second in the desert. Yeah, it's good finishes and validation that he's working on the right things and he's clubs he's used to and the ball and everything's all great. But winning, there's nothing like winning for an animal like McIlroy. And last night, you could see it.
No, he left it.
When he held that putt in the 18th green, he just let it all go. It was tremendous pictures.
Wasn't quite as strong as Garcia at the Masters last year.
No, there was even more build-up for Sergio, wasn't there? Yeah. The guy, the best player not to have won a major and eventually does it in the way that he did it. Because sometimes it's the way that you do it.
If you
walk up to a foot and tap it in, it's not like you make the putt. You hold it from 30 feet like Rory did. He makes the putt. He has the moment. You don't always have the moment.
No, you don't. I totally agree with you. You're talking a lot this morning, Robert. You're doing very well, I've got to say.
Well, I'm sort of filling in the blanks, really.
No, you're filling in the very good. I can't get a word in edgeways there.
Yeah, but...
You noticed that.
But you noticed that when you can't choose how you win.
No, you can't, no.
And he had that moment on that 18th green. Like Tiger had all those times with, you know, the anniversary of Arnold's tournament. You know Rory? He makes the needle move. You could see how the people react to Rory.
Yes, he's a crowd puller, isn't he?
Without a doubt.
No question about that.
So you give him a big chance this week in the match play?
I would give him the same chance.
You'll go quietly theory.
I give him the same chance as I give him every week, which is pretty much he can win every single tournament he plays in.
OK, Dustin Johnson defends as the world number one, and you've got to think he's on a golf course that he plainly likes.
Long hitter, you know.
Yes.
Slightly. It obviously depends who he draws, depends who he plays. But, you know, he's the only way you're going to beat Dustin Johnson, because he is long, he is straight. 99 times out of 100, you're going to be hitting your second shot in first.
Sure.
And sometimes in match play, that can be a good thing. So I wouldn't rate his chances as high as some of the other players.
Although I would say, you know, trying to nestle your niblick.
Yes,
you know, next to the hole when he's hitting a wedge, after a while becomes very wearing.
It does become. Is it me again?
All right, I'll go first. Yes, be very, very wearing. And he was fantastic last year in the final because he had to overcome a young buck called John Rahm, who, of course, everybody now knows in the world of golf due to his exploits in the last 12 months.
I'd say, Robert, he's risen quite quickly, wouldn't you?
Yeah, fantastic. But a great player.
Brilliantly to win in Ireland last year as well, didn't he?
But it's like all these things. So I'm going to give you Justin Thomas.
Yes, Justin Thomas.
You know, as a runner and rider, John Rahm, Jason Day, Sergio Garcia.
Yeah, Jason Day. I quite fancy Jason Day to do well.
How about Jordan Spieth, who's obviously played so well at the Masters and has a green jacket, but not been in great form of late?
No, he's not in the best of form at the moment. Do you know what? I don't think any of those will win that.
Well, a sneaky match player who's just won for the first time since 2009, Paul Casey, after his brilliant win at the Valspar.
Yeah. Well, yes, he might do, but I think he's on that crest of a wave now.
Yes, and he loves match play.
He does like match play. But do you know what? How about the young Indian, Shubhanka Sharma?
Yeah, he played superbly well in the last WGC in Mexico.
Did.
And he just fell away in the last round. But for a youngster, 21 years of age...
Yeah, and it will help him, no question, that it's match play rather than stroke play, in my view.
And England well represented with Casey, Tommy Fleetwood, winner of the Race to Dubai, and Tyrrell Hatton. I think Tyrrell's a dangerous player in match play.
Why do you think he's dangerous?
We'll find out. I think the way he plays is very, very, very advantageous in match play.
Because he's
a go-for-it type of player, a bit like Dustin Johnson.
Because he does have bouts of runs of birdies, like 4, 5, 6 holes on the spin.
Do you know, he's aggressive. He's an aggressive iron player, and he putts as well as anybody.
I think 9 times out of 10, Robert, which I say quite a lot, 9 times out of 10.
You do. It's never 8 or 10, is it? It's never 8 or 10.
No.
It's always 9 out of 10.
In match play, as it's an 18-hole sprint, you have to get off to a decent start, otherwise you're right behind the 8 ball, as far as I'm concerned.
Tell us about the golf course a little bit.
Well, it's a par of 71, Robert, just over 7,000 yards, 7,108 to be precise, designed by Pete Dye. And I was going to say there's two pretty different nines. There's a front nine on the higher ground.
And when you're there, Richard, it's
I was just about to explain the course.
Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it.
No, so I was going to say, when I was there, it's stark, the difference between the two nines.
Well, the other one's down in the lowlands, isn't it, alongside Lake Austin. Which is what I was going to finish off and say, but wasn't quite allowed to. And the other, as you say, on the higher ground is the surrounding Texas Hill Country side.
Thank you, Richard, for
pleasure,
that.
Pleasure,
it made me feel like I was there.
Well, yes, you were there.
I was there, yes. Halfpenny Bridge, it's all there.
Yeah.
Beautiful golf course.
Yeah.
And like you said, you know, it's lowlands and highlands. Looking forward to watching that in the match play. Should also mention, really, that Sergio Garcia, and we've known for some time that he was an expecting father. He is now a father. His wife gave birth on the 14th of March to a daughter, and they've called her Azalea, after, obviously, from the Masters, from Augusta. That's what the 13th hole is called. And that was crucial in his win last year, Richard? Par 5.
It was, yes. That up and down save his par. It certainly was crucial. It's amazing, isn't it? People sort of name their children after, you know, things they did on the golf course and stuff like that. I mean,
well, it's like my daughter, Brooklyn Beckham.
Well, yes, but I mean, you know,
why was it Brooklyn?
Because
that's where, yes, that's where Brooklyn was made.
That's where he was. I didn't know which angle to approach
say, people have reasons for calling their children.
Yeah, I mean,
something.
I didn't, you know, I won in Monza, but I bet my daughter Georgina Boxall was glad she wasn't called Monza Boxall. But anyway, we're sort of digressing. But no, that is all very sweet, isn't it?
And I can tell you, Richard, that the draw is on Monday night. We do a Monday podcast. So europeantour.com, you can find out who will be playing who all the 16 groups of four are, and you can kind of work out from their brackets who can make it through to the semis and so on. That's the exciting bit, isn't it? Trying to look at it all and think, right, I think he'll get through that, he'll win that.
And it's so hard. You know, when you look at people, you listen to your friends have a little gamble, don't they, on the
It's a private one.
Yeah, very private.
Yes.
It's so hard to pick.
Yeah, it is.
So hard.
Well, in our new series of predictions this year, it's presenter versus co-presenter.
Yeah.
Although I have batted from your seat against the mighty Roebuck over here.
Have you?
Again, you need points, basically. The co-presenters are getting thumped. So
how
normally
are they getting?
Oh, I'll tell you shortly what the score is. It's two picks each. Normally, it's one who you think is going to win, and you have to pick another one from outside last year's top 50 in the race to Dubai. But that doesn't count here because everyone's inside the world's top 64 or thereabouts that's in the field. So our normal caveat, which we have every week on the Race to Dubai show, doesn't count this week because of the world rankings of the players. So you can just have two picks. Just to give you the kind of pressure you're under, it's 80 points to the presenters and zero... Yes, because you lose five if you miss cuts.
Right, give me the rundown of how it's scored.
So 20 points if you get a winner.
Yeah.
10 for a top five.
Yeah.
Five for a top 20. This is normally in stroke play. And minus five if you miss the cut. So if your two players both miss the cut, you get minus 10 for your team.
Okay. So
that's why you're on zero.
So if my player gets through to, obviously it wins, he gets 20. But if he gets into the last 16, how many points does he get?
That's to be discussed.
That's for our producer to discuss.
That is for our producer to give us the rules on that one.
But all right, well, I'm going to go for...
You will not lose if you get through at the last 16. You'll be gaining points.
Okay, I'm going to go for one. Do you remember a golf course called Ulna Golf Club?
Yes, I do.
We played it in 1983.
The Scandinavian Enterprises Open.
Correct and right. Well, this man is attached to that golf course. He probably wasn't born when we
Alex
played
Norren.
There in 1983. Alex Norren. He's going to be my first pick, Rob.
Very good.
Are you going to go? You go for a pick and then
Is he, by the way, is Alex in your Ryder Cup 12?
Yeah, oh God, yes.
Yes, certainly for me as well. I think it'd be a tremendous asset in the Ryder Cup team.
No,
I really
massive.
Do. Yeah. Do you want to go 1-1-1-1 or do you want to go 2-2-2? What do you want to do?
I'll go, but unfortunately, I'm going to nick the one that you were going to have probably, so I won't nick it. But I was going to say Tyrrell Hatton, but you're probably going to have Tyrrell Hatton.
No, I was going to go the man who's not content on going along quietly this week, Rory McIlroy.
Right, okay.
And that's fine. So now you can have your second pick.
Okay, I'm going to go. I'm going to go for Tyrrell Hatton because you did bring up a good point earlier, which I wasn't thinking, which has always been the problem through my whole life, really.
Right.
Is that you said he does go on sort of decent runs of birdies and gets good starts.
He does.
Which is quite important. It's incredibly important in 18-hole match play because it's a sprint. It's not a marathon, Rob, is it? It's a sprint.
It is not a marathon. I'm going to go with Paul Casey. I'm going to have Rory McIlroy and Paul Casey as my two picks.
Okay.
Well, so make a note of those.
Hang on,
tick
Paul
them off.
Casey and who?
And Rory.
Rory McIlroy. How do you spell that?
R-O-R-Y.
Yeah, got that.
Yeah, McIlroy. M-C.
Yeah.
I-L-R-O-Y.
Okay, good player.
I tell you what, he's got a chance. I've seen him hit it. I remember watching Rory as a young amateur when he was a callow youth at about 14 or 15 years old playing, and I think it was... I could be wrong here. I'm sure I watched him on the range hitting balls alongside Darren Clark and Lee Westwood at the Forest of Arden. Even as a young lad, when obviously he's very strong now, but as a young lad, he'd hit miles. Rich, at 15, he hit it miles. I know he's made his body strong and the rest of it, and quite right. It's a game of, you know, you should be fit to play golf, but he hit it miles when he was a youngster.
Yeah, you can tell, can't you? You can tell.
You can tell. Star quality stands out like you can't believe. And,
I watched
that kid on the range, and I thought, that's a player.
Do you know what? It's the strange thing is, Robert, is people So a lot of time, you must get it as well, people come up to you and they go, my son, he's 21 and he's...
Oh, no, he's playing off four.
He's playing off. He's got to one now. I tell you what, he hits it a long way. Four. He goes around his own course in 68, you know.
I know. It's
like, no.
It's not even close, is it?
Trust me, if he'd just come out the scouts, you know he's going to be a decent player. But, you know, when you're about 12... Yeah. I don't know why I said the scouts. But
I remember
anyway,
Chubby.
You know what I mean?
I remember Andrew Chandler many, many, many years ago when Rory first turned pro. He was with Chubby.
Yeah.
And then we were just having a, you know, chatting like you do in a press centre somewhere. And we were talking about Rory, just having a chat. Chubby just said, you know, before Rory had done anything,
yeah,
he said, that's my retirement package there. I said, Rory. He said, oh, yeah. He said, that's my retirement package. They're not together anymore and things change in life. Fair enough. But he recognised.
I hadn't spent
the time. I hadn't had the exposure to him and his game like Chubby had, and he recognised then that it was just really was.
Yeah.
This is like stamping a
when
book.
When was this? Which tournament was this?
This is a long time ago, well, before he made any big noises.
Oh well, that's it. Well, he said to me at the
before
Dunhill.
Before Rory finished third at the Dunhill.
That's the one I was going to talk about.
Yeah, before then.
He said to me at the bottom of the steps, Andrew Chandler at St Andrews. He said, "Keep your eye out this week." He said, "Rory McIlroy, first tournament he's playing in." And sure enough, was it third or was it fourth he finished?
I think he finished third. Well, it wasn't his first tournament, but he had a run of tournaments to get his card, didn't he?
I thought it was his first one.
I don't think he finished third in his very first event, no.
Well, anyway, we'll find out.
But it got him over the line. He didn't have to go to school, did he?
That's maybe what it was.
Yeah.
He finished third there in those few invites
that you get.
Yeah.
And he didn't have to go to the school.
I'll tell you another thing, Robert.
Yeah.
When the PGA was on at Wentworth many, many years ago, before Rory was a pro, so... Rory's been a pro how long?
He's coming up to 30 now, isn't he? So he's
11 years, let's say. So anyway, so if you go back to about the middle of the 2000s, right, I was at the PGA at Wentworth. Sitting there was Jerry and Rose.
Right.
McIlroy. No, I'd never seen them before. They were out watching tournament, or their son was playing golf somewhere like that. I was standing at the bar having...
Lime and soda.
Having a soft drink.
Lime and soda, surely.
Maybe not. And I remember we just started chatting away and he said to me, oh, my lad, he said, he's a good player. I said, oh, yeah. He said, Rory McIlroy is his name. He said, he's a young lad. He said, he's only 11 or 12. He said, but he's going to be a good player. Yeah, of course he is.
That's
you
the point.
Heard, well, you have heard it.
You hear every week. You want to see this kid.
So at that point, yeah.
You're quite justified in thinking, oh, there's another one.
Did you say I was quite right in saying that? Then?
Yeah. If a guy says to you, watch this kid, look at this kid, he's going to be something, you go, yeah. Because that's your first reaction.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
And he was right. It was Carnoustie, where Rory shot 67, 68 in the first round as an amateur. I'm sure it was Carnoustie. It was an open championship, and he shot 67, 68, something like that in the first round as an am. And that was a wow moment.
Yeah.
You know, you go to when they set a course up for an open, it's not easy.
No, it isn't.
And you shoot something like that.
I thought I was going to win my first Open as an amateur. I was only 19.
What, parred the first?
Bogeyed it.
Here we go again.
Here we go again. No, I bogeyed it. But I have to tell you.
Oh, it was a here we go again.
Oh, it was. Birdied the next three.
Oh, the excitement, Richard.
Oh, this is so easy.
This is so easy.
Bobby Jones and me.
Are there any more? Anyway, it didn't quite work out. The next 68 holes, Richard.
Well, I watched the last 36 on Grandstand.
Didn't make it through the weekend. Okay, Rich, it's Ryder Cup time. We are building up, of course, to the end of September, where the Europeans host the Americans at Le Golf National. What do the two lists look like for the Europeans?
Well, you've got the European points list, which looks like this. It's Tyrrell Hatton, Justin Rose, Ross Fisher and Matthew Fitzpatrick. And then you head over to the other side, which is the world points list. And there's four picks from there. And as it stands right now, that'll be John Rahm, Tommy Fleetwood, Sergio Garcia and Rafa Cabrera-Bello. And remember that the captain, Thomas Bjorn, has four picks.
So Rory, where is he in both lists?
Rory is in the European points list is 15th and in the world points list is 11th. But you know what? If he plays slightly badly between now and selection time in August, I have a feeling he might get picked.
He's in. And amazingly, Tiger Woods is up to 24th on the American list. So he's going to play his way out of the vice captaincy and into the team.
I think he might well do, yeah. This remarkable comeback will kick on. I think you might well see him at Paris National as a player.
We are going to do a full Masters preview in a couple of weeks' time. But it's looking fantastic, isn't it, with the people that are on form, with the Mickelson win, Tiger playing great golf, Rory winning,
yep.
Justin Thomas playing well. There are so many people going into this week, or that week, the Masters week, with form. with heritage on the golf course. It's going to be maybe the best Masters ever.
Yes, I think it'll be very exciting. April the 5th to the 8th, isn't it? I'm looking forward to that very much. I shall be sitting up having a lemonade late at night watching that, Robert. You can be sure. Are you going to that or not?
Yes, I am going to Augusta. Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah.
Give me a ring or text or let me know. It's all going, will you?
I'll be on the airwaves. So good. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be an amazing week. It really is. Now, in other news, later this week, it's the 50th edition of the Barclays Kenya Open. I lost in the playoff there, Richard. I mean, I hate to bore you.
Oh, my goodness. Hang on.
Yeah, lost in the playoff.
Did you?
Yeah.
When was that?
That was 1996. When you had to go back to the qualifying score, if you didn't make the cut, if you lost your card and you didn't make the cut, you actually couldn't go on the Challenge Tour.
Oh, right, no.
And I didn't have a Challenge Tour ranking, and I got an invitation to the first event of the year, like this is, in Kenya.
Mathaga. Beautiful.
And from nowhere, I lost in a playoff, so I had some points up on the board straight away.
Can I tell you something about Mathaga? And you'll know it as well. In 1983, we went there, and the one thing that sticks in my mind, Robert, is that we played Nigeria. Well, we went up country pro-ams to start with, which was not to be confused with brilliant. Came back, went to Ikoyi Country.
That's it.
And then we went to Yamoussoukro.
So Nigeria, Ivory Coast.
Ivory Coast. And then we went to Kenya.
That's right.
Can you remember?
I do.
We got into the clubhouse there and we hadn't had anything, you know, food-wise. It had been, well, I'll just stick to bread and some apples and stuff like that. But when we got there, they served us egg, bacon, fried bread in that front bit of the clubhouse. Do you remember that?
I do.
Jam, toast and marmalade.
Toast and marmalade, not jam.
No.
Just toast and marmalade,
And a beautiful cup of tea, and it was all done in nice crockery and everything. Windows open, slight breeze coming in. Do you remember that?
It was like
I'd
come home. It was better than Mummy ever used to make it, or it seemed to be at the time. I'll tell you a funny story. So, rookie year, the plane is oversold to Kenya. There's about there's six or seven of us, and only five boarding passes.
Right.
So, two people are going to have to wait overnight it and then go the next day. Because we can't all get on the plane.
Right.
And I don't remember everyone that was there, but I do remember Brian Waits and Simon Bishop being there.
Yeah.
And the reason I remember these two is because they're both important in this next bit of the story. So Waits, he says, right, we've got seven people and five boarding passes. I'm going to do a draw. And he disappeared. He disappeared into another room and did the draw.
Oh, stop it.
So that's not fixed, is it?
No.
So he came back, you know, Mr. Rookie here. So we're all waiting to see who's going to get the five? And he reading them from the top. He went, so-and-so, so-and-so, Lee. I thought, oh, you beauty. So I've got my boarding ticket. I'm on the flight. Bishop goes, there's no way I'm missing the flight. Give us those boarding passes back. So Simon Bishop took the, and Waits, he flapped, he went, oh, it's a redraw, it's a redraw.
Went
back in the other room and then came back out and, surprise, I was in the two that didn't make the flight. And, of course, being a rookie year, first time out there, knowing nobody or nothing, I put up with that. But, I mean, I wouldn't do it now.
You wouldn't now, no.
I wouldn't do it now. I say, no, listen.
Did Brian get one then?
Funnily enough, Brian got on the flight. Funnily enough. But it was...
Where did you stay that night?
I would have thought...
Back with an expat.
Nothing that had anything in common with the Four Seasons chain of hotels.
Not even close.
But it was, I mean, it was... Do you know what? Playing the Safari Tour in those days, I know this is just the Kenyan Open, but it was an education for many reasons.
Slightly.
I used to stay in Kenya with expats, because that's what we did. The members of the golf club would come and put you up.
Yeah.
But one year, there weren't enough expats willing to put the young, you know, troublemakers up.
Yeah.
So I had to stay in a hotel. Now, at night time in the hotel, the gap under the door was about an inch.
Yeah.
It was a ground floor door in Kenya. You know, with the crickets, that noise.
At night,
it's all happening out there.
The
animals don't know that you're supposed to be nice and relaxed. Everything used to come under my door at night. And it was 100 degrees and I had the sheets over me, sweating like you couldn't believe, but not willing to just let a seal open in case something came in that was, you know, untowards.
I'm sure, there's plenty
mosquitoes
came in there.
And goodness me. Yes, Richard, you could imagine. So, like I say, it was an education. And as I said, Richard, you know, it was when I lost in the playoff, it was the season opener, as it is this year, on this year's Challenge Tour.
And €500,000 as a total prize money, not first prize, but I mean, that's a pretty good prize. You're going to get 16.6% of that, which is, well, 15, 20, about 80, 90,000 euros.
Previous winners include Seve Ballesteros, Ian Woosnam, and Trevor Immelman. And I should have been able to add Robert Lee to that, but I failed.
Just slipped out.
I failed. They hit a shocking 5-iron in the playoff hole.
Who beat you in that?
Mike Miller won that.
Oh.
That was a big moment for Mike, because he'd been going down to that part of Africa for many, many years.
Yeah.
And all the African guys wanted Mike, because they knew him well, they wanted him to win. It's a great tournament, and to see it reach its 50th edition is testament to the people down there in Kenya, and this year they're supported by Barclays. So well done to everyone at Mathega Golf Club. Great place to play. Now, some sad news. We lost in the last few days Gerry Anderson. He was Canadian, and he played certainly the tour, Richard, when you were out there, and he played when I was out there. You knew him well.
Yeah, no, I knew Gerry. I played lots of golf with Gerry. He always liked a little bet when we had practice rounds. He was different. He was quite quiet, actually, sometimes. But
he had the one-yard fade.
That's
how he played.
Yeah, not a long swing, very powerful. It was a bit swung a little bit like Peter Lonard.
Okay,
you know what I mean?
So kind of three-quarter in length, and he was compact, wasn't he, as a player?
No, he was a good player, and it's a shame he died not so long ago.
Wasn't there, as an epitaph, wasn't there a time in Sweden where he'd lost the plot and he walked back to the hotel?
Oh, yes, he walked back to the hotel.
And now I'm saying like 25 miles across country.
Oh, it took us 45 minutes in a coach to get there.
Yeah.
He walked back to the hotel.
He was so disgusted with his game.
He
punished himself.
Right. Walked through the fields, down the side of a motorway, cross a motorway, all that sort of stuff.
And when he got back, he was completely dishevelled. Completely.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
Covered in muck, and there was roots and grass sticking out of his hair and everything.
Yeah, you don't get those sort of characters on the tour.
No, Gerry was a character.
They were around in our sort of time, but not anymore.
And I really enjoyed playing with him, I really did. He was a great guy.
Yeah.
And, of course, his big win in Europe came up in the mountains in Kron. 366s and a 63.
Exactly, that was some scoring in those days.
27 under.
Do you know, I'm going to tell you something very quickly now before we move on. I always used to say to Gerry, at the time I was living with my parents back in Cambly, I always used to say to Gerry, just pop in every time. Because he always used to stay at the Holiday Inn or Heathrow or one of those hotels along there. Gerry, if ever you're around, pop in. That week I played, and this gospel truth, I missed the cut. So I went all the way down the mountain, down to Geneva Airport, went back in.
Were you in shock because you'd not played the weekend, or?
A reasonable shock.
Same old, same old.
Didn't know what to do Saturday and Sunday. So this is honestly true. So in those days, you used to have teletext. You remember that?
Yeah, very much so. CFAX.
CFAX and teletext. And when I got back, I flicked it on the Sunday, and I saw that Gerry Anderson shot 27-under-1. And I thought, well, that's pretty impressive, Gerry. Well played. 10:45 at night on Sunday night. On the door, no word of a dad. My father went, hell is that? Answer it, Richard. So I went and answered the door, and there was four steps down to the ground floor where he, and there was Gerry. I'm looking down on the chap that's just won up the mountain, right, of 27 under for a European Tour record. I looked at him, I went, Gerry. He said, you always said just drop in. So we brought him in. My old man opened a bottle of scotch, and Gerry went off to the airport very thirsty, I think, on Monday morning.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Well, I thought he would pitch up when he'd missed a cut or something, not when he just set a European Tour record. Fantastic. He's got...
Your house was full of winners, Richard.
Oh.
Full of winners.
Wasn't it just?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. A lot of people walked in a reasonable colour, but they walked out grey, let me tell you. When my dad had finished with that.
That's about it for this week's Race to Dubai show. Join us next week when we'll look back at the WGC Dell Technologies match play. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and Snapchat via europeantour.com or by downloading the official app. And don't forget that you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes too. So remember to leave us a review. But for now, from Richard Boxall, who's gone for?
Alex Norren.
And?
Hang on 2 seconds. Tyrrell Hatton is the other one.
I've gone for Rory McIlroy and Paul Casey. From me, Robert Lee, and Richard Boxall, it's goodbye.